As globalism transitions from global to local, we become vocal local, blocking the globalist agenda right where we are, in our towns, cities, counties, and states. And now, here is that nemesis of globalism, your host, William Roberts.
Yeah, baby, the sun is rising over Missouri, folks, and it's time once again for a show me showdown. Show me your facts, show me the law, and show me your evidence. We got breakfast on the table all across America. Coffee brewing on the stove, and there's a revolution in the air. Be a part of it, won't you? And welcome to our Thursday, July the 7th, 2011. Uh-oh, 7-7. Watch out for that. Don't ride any buses today, folks. Two-hour broadcast of Become Vocal Local. Come at you live Monday through Friday right here on the Oracle Broadcasting Network, oraclebroadcasting.com. Or was that a train? My name is William Roberts, of course, and always good news, hard facts, and workable solutions when we can find them and where you can find them. But if you can't remember the last time you experienced the pursuit of happiness, you're certainly not alone, but you are in the right place at the right time to become vocal local. This is the home of philosophical radicalism, where freedom is popular, remains the best hope for America. Interactive Talk Radio is the name of the game. Be a part of today's broadcast. You can log on and bookmark BecomeVocalLocal.com. Nah, there's not a lot of news and other things on that website yet. But we do have a chat room there. You can jump in. John joined in the chat room this morning. Always lots of lively chatter in our chat room. Or you can pick up the phone call throughout the broadcast for those with unlimited long-distance access or in the Austin, Texas area. Let me call in at area code 512-904-8014. To join us live on air from around America and around the world, you can call in toll-free at 866-841-1065. Of course, your calls are welcome. You may also send your ideas for guests, show topics, and news to me via email at bvlhost@centurytel.net. That's bvlhost, like become vocal local host. That's me, at centurytel1l.net. And for those without internet access listening via any of our affiliate stations and micro broadcasters, you too can be a part of it. Simply send your letters to me at William Roberts, Post Office Box 96, Exeter, Missouri, 65647. Again, P.O. Box 96, Exeter, Mo, the big Mo, May 65647. A big shout-out this morning to Liberty Radio out of Owensville, Missouri, reallibertymedia.com, Channel 16, talkstreamlive.com. Thank you all for broadcasting. Become vocal local to your audiences. Our call-in number remains 866-841-1065. All that contact information and can be found at the becomevocallocal.com homepage. And all of our archives neatly tucked away for you on the oraclebroadcasting.com homepage. Oh, again, our call-in number remains 866-841-1065. Precious metals cautiously advance. Other indices are up as well this morning. Kind of an uptick going on. Money junkies can't get enough debt. That's in the news today. Greek contagion spreads through the pigs. We'll touch on that briefly, perhaps. Planning commissions, communal goes, public policies, grammar and logic. Yeah, the continuing study just goes on. Of course, we'll take your calls and much, much more. Let's go to our market report for this morning. Again, Thursday, July the 7th. Be careful there, 7-7 bombings. Yeah, anyway, July 7th. Active trading out of New York City as of 9 o'clock a.m. Eastern Daylight Time found gold trading down a dime. If you go back and check the look, take a look at that Kitco.com chart, see the amount of action that's already happened in the gold market this morning. Down a dime at $1,529.30. There's your good news. Up also 47 cents is silver at $36.37. Platinum up $9 at $17.36. And palladium up 13 at $7.79. The lows and the highs of the gold spot market this morning, pretty good spread shaping up in there. $1,523.40 for the low, $1,535.70 for the high. Like I said, lots of action happening in the gold market early on this morning. But at $1,529.30, your gold is up $326 even for a 27.09% return on your investment. The London Gold Fix this morning, the boys in London set the price at $1,526.25. Yeah, not bad, but we traded above that at showtime. We'll be right back.
Constitution like the back of your hand. You've read books, listened to podcasts, attended lectures, surfed websites, and watched videos. You've made liberty your life's goal, but something seems to be missing. Stickers from LibertyStickers.com. Exercise your freedom of speech with the world's most dangerous bumper stickers. That's LibertyStickers.com. But wait, there's more. You can buy Liberty stickers wholesale. Get them for 99 cents each when you put 100 or more in your shopping cart in any combination. Sell them or give them away. They're great for gun shows, flea markets, fairs, outreach, and more. Earn extra money, promote freedom, and spread the word. Need custom stickers, labels, or decals for your organization or business? Liberty Stickers makes them. Go to LibertyStickers.com to order or call 877-873-9626. LibertyStickers.com, the world's most dangerous stickers.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
At HempUSA.org, we offer chemical-free products to people around the world, detoxifying, self-healing, while rebuilding the immune system. We urge our listeners to please consider our largest-selling product, Microplant Powder. Our microplant powder is rich in silica and probiotics to help rebuild the immune system and to create a healthy stomach flora. Microplant powder is excellent for daily intake and is perfect to add to your storage shelter. We urge our listeners to please visit us at hempusa.org. And remember, all of our products are chemical-free and healthy to eat. We constantly strive to give you the best service, highest quality, and rapid shipping anywhere. And we offer free shipping on orders over $95 in the U.S. Please visit us at hempusa.org or call 908-691-2608. That's 908-691-2608. See what our powder, seeds, and oil can do for you at hempusa.org.
This is Become Vocal Local with your host, William Roberts.
And welcome back once again to our Thursday, July the 7th, 7/7/2011, two-hour broadcast of Become Vocal Local. Watch your back today, folks. Coming to you Monday through Friday, right here on the Oracle Broadcasting Network, oraclebroadcasting.com. Back into our market report for this morning. Really active trading going on. Actually, it's active across the whole spectrum. Talk about that as we go into this a little bit deeper. But active trading out of New York City as of 9 o'clock a.m. Eastern Daylight Time. Now, as we have crossed firmly into the second half of the calendar year here in the globe that we live on, but we're also heading toward the end of the fiscal year for the U.S. Gov, and the timeline is running on all the states, the municipals too, so there's lots of action, lots of pressure happening. This morning we find gold trading off 10 cents at $15.29.30, silver up 47 cents at $36.37, platinum up $9 at $17.36, and palladium up 13 at $7.79. It's not a good time, you know, to be the big guys like Goldman Sachs and J.P. Morgan. They're getting a lot of pressure put on them. They've been doing a lot of nasty, naughty things, and they're getting caught, you know, in the business that they're doing. So just keep your eyes peeled on the marketplace, folks. The lows and the highs in the gold spot market this morning, 15.2340 for a low, 15.3570 for a high. SPDR gold shares unchanged overnight. They've been unchanged for a while. Maybe people aren't buying into their electronic, you know, traded funds anymore. Maybe more people are starting to reach for the physical. Perhaps they don't want to. They've read the prospectus and they don't want to get redeemed in fiat dollars. They seem to be buying gold, but no, they can only get dollars. Well, not a good program anyway. Like freeze frame, SPDR gold shares unchanged overnight. The Dow Jones Industrial Average yesterday Closed up 56 at 12,626. What's that 6,500 Dow that some of the forecasters have forecasted? That's a long ways down, isn't it? The NASDAQ closed up 8 at 28,34. The S&P 500 closed up 1 at 13,39. Crude oil this morning, well, like to be able to increase your bottom line this easily. They bump it up $2 a barrel at $98.64 a barrel. Okay, so you do the math. 42-gallon barrel of light sweet crude. Divide that into 98.64, and you go look at the pump, and you'll know what the story is there. The U.S. dollar index this morning up 27 basis points at 75.30. The Intercontinental Exchange Inc.'s website would be the place to go and check that out, theice.com. Forex exchange rates this morning, any bump in the USDX, of course, is reflected in the foreign exchange. And this morning we find the Canadian loonie in our little North American Security and Prosperity Partnership Agreement basket of currencies. Little Timmy's got his basket. We got another one. Okay. Anyway, the Canadian loonie this morning up 80 basis points at $1.04. The Mexican peso up 49 basis points. Strong moves here in the Canadian and the Mexican currencies at 11.5606 pesos per dollar or 9 cents U.S. The euro this morning off 16 basis points at $1.43. British pound bumps up 0.08%. Oh, too very little there at $1.60. And the Swiss franc losing massively this morning. Well, not really. They're down 76 basis points, and yet they're still hanging in there at $1.18 in the foreign exchange market. In the bonds this morning, the U.S. Treasuries, the yield on the 2-year bonded indebtedness at 0.46, your benchmark 10-year yield is at 3.16, and your 30 at 4.39%. Of course, that impacts the mortgage markets, where this morning we find in the 15-year fixed-rate mortgages a little bit of a reversal, a decline from yesterday, down from 3.71% a month ago to 3.69%, and the 30 years continue this slight upward tick, moving from they're down too, but they showed it as an up. No, that's a mistake on Bloomberg's part. It's actually moved down as well from 4.99% a month ago to 4.55% this morning. Your gold-to-silver ratio is at 42.05:1. Ounces of silver bring you home 1 ounce of gold, and, of course, the prime rate is set in stone. Let's go into the economic calendar, take a quick look at this. Yesterday, of course, we got the non-manufacturing index came out after the broadcast started, so we didn't cover that yesterday. We'll get it to this morning. The ADP employment report is out. That's the big news, and so are the jobless claims, and we'll go right to those tomorrow. We'll look at the employment situation, wholesale trade, and consumer credit. This afternoon, we'll find out more about the consumer comfort index out of Bloomberg, the natural gas report, petroleum status, and all of that. So things are starting to pick back up as everybody comes out of the great secular holy day, Independence Day. ISM non-manufacturing index this morning. The consensus range here was they were looking from 51.2 to 55. Came in the middle at 53.3. Steady, here's the highlight, Econoday calendar, econoday.com. Steady is a good description for June's non-manufacturing report from the Institute for Supply Management, whose composite index slipped back to 53.3 above 50 to indicate month-to-month growth, but 1.3 points below the May to indicate a slowing rate of monthly growth. So as we go into the doldrums of summer, things are slowing down, and they're going to slow down. But that's not going to be looking too good, because what they're all looking for is a better second half. If we're going to have a better second half, it better get started pretty soon. Anyway, the ADP employment report goes this way. They were looking at the prior revised number was 36. The prior was 38. They had to drop the numbers down. They claimed this morning they got 157,000. Wow. Anyway, let's see how this reads. The ADP sees month-to-month strength for tomorrow's private payroll data, estimating 157,000 gain versus a revised 36,000 gain in May. Somebody's fudging the numbers, folks. It doesn't make that kind of a change that quickly. Demand for risk is rising in immediate reaction to the result, with money moving into stocks and out of bonds. Here's the last one, jobless claims. They had a consensus range here of 405,000 to 435,000. It came in on the low side at 418,000. Of course, these numbers always get revised too. But let's hear the words from the wise ones. Incremental improvement is the conclusion for weekly claims data. Incremental improvement. Headlined by a 14,000 decline for initial claims in the July 2-week, to 418,000. The improvement is offset slightly by an upward revision of 4,000 in the prior week. So they don't mind fudging the numbers. They just keep changing them all the time. Results for an unusually large number of six states had to be estimated due to the July 4th holiday. Now, when you're looking for an excuse, any excuse will do. Let's blame it on Independence Day. Anyway, while Minnesota shows a 2,500 rise related to the state's government shutdown, 2,500 people out of work, the four-week average is down 3,000 to 424,750, yet over the last several weeks shows little change from levels in June. So things are not looking good, folks. That's a lot of people. That's a lot of people standing in the unemployment line, all right? Now, let's just blow through this news. This is one I wanted to share with you because we keep our eyes on this. This is how products move around the globe, okay? They move in this supply chain, this just-in-time delivery system. And for a country like us, it depends on our shopping boxes, our shopping stores, the big box stores. Any changes here reflect what we can look at for the winter. But containers flood shipping routes as rates fall. What's going on with that? Well, what's going on with this is that all the container vessels out there are running around half full. They're still trying to keep them on the water, but they don't have anywhere near enough cargo to justify the size of these ships. We'll talk about that right after this.
Hey, how's that Frankenfood working out for you? You like it? Why don't you quit eating it and start growing your own high-quality, low-cost food? Gardening in a failed economy will teach you the methods that you need to grow food just about anywhere, even on concrete. Gardening in a failed economy will teach you to grow high-quality, low-cost food in just about any location, just about anywhere in the world. Download a copy of Gardening in a Failed Economy from distributedliving.net.
Here's a great gadget that will enable your old FM radio to receive thousands of new internet radio stations. It's the size of a thumb drive, and it simply plugs into any USB port on your computer. Anything that you stream, Pandora, iTunes, this show through TalkStream Live, now plays on any FM radio. It's easy to use, sound quality is excellent, and has a range of up to 30 feet. The FM audio transmitter, including shipping, is just $29.99. Go to oraclebroadcasting.com and click on the banner right now.
Imagine no longer being tied down to your computer, but having the freedom to take live talk radio with you anywhere you go. TalkStream Live introduces our first ever iPhone application. The talk shows you follow now follow you, and your iPhone is now the fastest and easiest way to stay connected to the best talk radio on the internet. Let TalkStream Live transform the way you listen to radio. Listen to live talk shows 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Mobile talk radio from TalkStream Live, now available in the iTunes App Store.
Thousands of years ago, from the time of Moses to the time of Alexander the Great, Julius Caesar, and beyond, TrustedCoins.com brings you an incredible selection of authentic Greek, Biblical, Roman, and Byzantine ancient coins, all certified authentic by world-renowned numismatic expert Ilya Zlobin. Transport yourself to the distant past now at TrustedCoins.com.
The Oracle Broadcasting Radio Network is on a mission to bring you the best in cutting-edge talk radio. Oracle Broadcasting is a true beacon of free speech, uncensored news, and relevant information that depends on the support of listeners just like you. You can help us expand our reach and inform the masses. Promote the network by clicking the socialize link on the left-hand side of the OracleBroadcasting.com website. Using the simple tools provided, it is easy to spread the word about Oracle Broadcasting on social networking websites, blogs, news feeds, and many other ways with just one click. You can also help by becoming an Oracle Broadcasting member today. For just $5 a month, you get access to the member stream that allows you to listen to all of the great shows from Oracle Broadcasting in 128K stereo CD audio quality. To find out more, go to OracleBroadcasting.com. And thank you for listening to the Oracle Broadcasting Radio Network.
Looking for great talk radio? You found it. This is the Oracle Broadcasting Network.
So just leaping into the middle of this article and bringing out a little bit more, I've just keep continue pressing through towards the conclusion, reading the end of this Introduction to Business textbook, again published by it was back in 1967 by the Southwestern Publishing Company. It's titled as a textbook for the first course in business on the collegiate level. Again, in 1967, things were a little bit different in the schools than today, and as I've mentioned in the past, in regards to this textbook and so many others, it's barely touched. It's almost virgin from one end to the other. Just a couple of sections here and there in the textbook were part of the course that the student paid for. They didn't get the full meal deal unless they took the time to read the whole book, and I can tell you this book hasn't been read by anybody until me. I'm reading the whole book. I've got it underlined, highlighted, cross-referenced, and post-it noted in my normal fashion. But if we can understand that marketing, Chapter 7, its nature and its scope, marketing is one of the major segments of the economy of this country. Through this area of economic activities, goods and services flow from the producers to the consumers, thereby completing the basic mission of our economic system, that of satisfying the needs and wants of our people. This is a twofold task: discovering what goods and services consumers need and want, and two, providing these items for them in the places where they are, at the times they want them, and at prices they are able and willing to pay. Underline all those very important criteria. Up in the news this morning, I'm not going to go into it in any detail, but there's a call for the people in Ireland to buy refrigerators and other, you know, things like washing machines and dishwashers so that they can jumpstart their, you know, economy. But if they don't have jobs and they've already got a dishwasher or reefer, come on, give us a break. But this article, containers flood shipping routes as rates fall, you know, they're already... They have gone through the marketing program. They already know what the cheap Chinese plastic crap is going to look like under your Xmas tree. They already know what the fall clothing lines are going to look like. Now, there are some out there that will bring things out right at the last minute to go along with whatever Holly Weird is doing or whatever, you know, is the latest fad in America and around the world. But typically, these container lines are already moving not only the parts and the pieces that will go into your new whatever it is that they're going to release at Christmas time, but they're already involved in the merchandising for that holiday, that season. And, of course, not just what goes on in the United States, but goes on in Europe. All of these things are based on these various Christian and holy, merchant man's holy days. Container lines are ignoring a drop in freight rates. However, okay, the container lines are ignoring it. That's important. And bringing the highest proportion of the shipping fleet out of mothballs since 2008. We've been talking about this just line and line and line of these ships, you know, just standing idle. Some of them idled at sea. The capacity of the idled ships has dropped to about 80,000 containers. So what they're doing is they're running half empty. All right, so glass half empty as opposed to half full. According to industry consultant Alphandliner, the smallest number of vessels not in use since the collapse of Lehman Brothers, and it'll be in the news in a moment too, Lehman Brothers, 3 years ago, also triggered a worldwide recession. Overcapacity, now this is not overcapacity, it's too many container, cargo, those steel boxes with the doors on one end, containers. This is not overcapacity, doesn't point to too many containers. Overcapacity means that they've got too many vessels on the water. They can carry too much. Overcapacity threatens to limit the usual seasonal advance in third quarter rates to Europe, hurting earnings for such shipping lines as Copenhagen-based AP, Moller Maersk, the world's largest. About 45% of the goods to Europe from Asia are being transported at a loss, and shipping lines need to cut capacity for the route by as much as 10% to balance supply and demand, Nordea Bank AP said June 29th. Quote, our view on the container market is relatively negative due to the overcapacity there today, said Torkel Aberg, an Oslo-based fund manager at KLP Asset Management. The fund, which has about $46 billion under management, holds about 3.3 million in Maersk shares and is underweighting the stock compared with other equity holdings. He said, quote, rates are really bad. Our view here is that Maersk will perform worse than other stocks. Well, that's big news, and it's a lengthy article. You might find out more about it. It'll give you a window into what's coming down this coming winter. Of course, we just mentioned this one off Econo Day. Initial unemployment claims in the U.S. decreased 14,000 last week to 418,000. Bob Wills writing this one for Bloomberg. new news. U.S. initial jobless claims fell for the first time in 3 weeks, a sign the labor market is making little headway. Little headway. Underline that. Jobless claims fell by 14,000 to 418,000 in the week ended July the 2nd. Labor Department figures showed today in Washington. Of course, you know, as they say, figures don't lie, but the liars figure. And most of them reside in the District of Criminals. The median forecast of economists in a Bloomberg News survey called for a drop to 420,000. The number of people on unemployment benefit rolls and those getting extended benefits also declined. Now, when you get extended benefits, you know, I mean, that's your last ditch. And when there's a drop there, that means you're falling off the back of the bus. All right, you're gone. You're off the back of the wagon. Supply chain disruptions from Japan's March earthquake, European default concerns, and gasoline prices that neared $4 a gallon prompted some companies in the recent weeks to fire workers. Well, things are not looking too good. Claims, here's a quote, are still stuck at a level that's too high. Jennifer Lee, a senior economist at BMO Capital in Toronto, said before the report, quote, a lot of companies aren't going to worry about hiring until they are certain the economic recovery is self-sustaining. And then she uses this one. This is the new norm. This is the new hot button word here. It's still a soft patch economy. Soft patch, we remember the first day that was used. I don't call it a soft patch. It's like quicksand anyway, and they're all falling in it and swirling around. The more actively they swirl, the faster they sink. Landlords, talked yesterday with Lisa from Florida about the real estate marketplace. Landlords limit the freebies as U.S. apartment vacancy drops to a three-year low. More and more people are being foreclosed out of their houses. More and more people are just walking away. It's the jingle mail that we've heard about here on Oracle in the past. Jingle mail, people putting the keys in an envelope or leaving them on the front porch and just giving it back to the bank. And where do they go? Well, they either sleep overnight or for month after month in a culvert someplace under Vegas, or they go to an apartment. A lot of people are doing that. Rent increases replaced landlord giveaways as U.S. apartment vacancies dropped in the second quarter to the lowest in more than 3 years. All right, vacancies are going down. Rental properties are needed. All right, the apartment vacancy rate, you got all these foreclosed houses standing around out there in America, folks. Maybe you need to go to talk to some broker or some realtor or somebody that has the mortgage on the property. It's in foreclosure, it's standing empty. They need to have somebody take care of the outside and mow the lawn. Maybe you could move right in. The apartment vacancy rate fell to 6% in 3 months, ended June 30th, from 6.2% in the first quarter and a 7.8% a year earlier. The New York-based property research firm said in a report today the second quarter rate matched the first 3 months of 2008 and was the lowest since 5.7% at the end of 2007. Well, get rid of the numbers, Will. Let's go on. The ongoing recovery, they say here, and tightening vacancies continue to generate greater pricing power on the part of the landlords. Now, this is a real, be very careful in this area. I certainly am, but be very careful in here. You start to get a little bit greedy, things start to tighten up a little bit, and you start contemplating raising rent and taking away the perks, well, just be careful. You know, all you have to do if you're a landlord out there is lose a tenant and go through the cost of replacing a tenant and repainting and cleaning and shampooing carpets and washing all the windows and everything like that. All you got to do is do that one time in a year and wipe out your profit from the entire rental process. The ongoing recovery and tightening vacancies continue again to generate greater pricing power. Well, that's that issue. We'll be right back.
Talk radio online worldwide at oraclebroadcasting.com.
Hey, how's that Frankenfood working out for you? You like it? Why don't you quit eating it and start growing your own high-quality, low-cost food? Gardening in a failed economy will teach you the methods that you need to grow food just about anywhere, even on concrete. Gardening in a failed economy will teach you to grow high-quality, low-cost food in just about any location, just about anywhere in the world. download a copy of Gardening in a Failed Economy from distributedliving.net.
Across the sands of time, from the lands of Abraham to the lands of Julius Caesar, the metals of the earth were forged into the coin of the realm. Now you can own a piece of history with affordable ancient coins from the Greek, Biblical, Roman, and Byzantine eras, guaranteed authentic by Janus Numismatics. Transport yourself to the distant past at TrustedCoins.com. That's TrustedCoins.com.
You know the Constitution like the back of your hand. You've read books, listened to podcasts, attended lectures, surfed websites, and watched videos. You've made liberty your life's goal. But something seems to be missing.
Stickers from LibertyStickers.com. Exercise your freedom of speech with the world's most dangerous bumper stickers. That's LibertyStickers.com.
But wait. There's more.
You can buy Liberty stickers wholesale. Get them for 99 cents each when you put 100 or more in your shopping cart in any combination. Sell them or give them away. They're great for gun shows, flea markets, fairs, outreach, and more. Earn extra money, promote freedom, and spread the word. Need custom stickers, labels, or decals for your organization or business? Liberty Stickers makes them. Go to LibertyStickers.com to order or call 877-873-9626. LibertyStickers.com, the world's most dangerous stickers.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
This is Become Vocal Local with your host, William Roberts.
There is a bit further on this article in regards to landlords limiting the freebies as U.S. apartment vacancies drop off the Bloomberg website. Hui Hyung Hyu, writing this one. Anyway, let's go out to Seattle and take a look at this. It says here, there's still a stigma to buying houses, said Stan Harrelson, chief executive officer of Pinnacle, a Seattle-based company that manages more than $17 billion of apartments and other commercial properties. Quote, even with job growth, people aren't ready to take that step, okay? People aren't ready to take that step. So there's still a lot of houses out there. Effective rents, or what tenants actually pay after the perks, such as a free month, climbed in 80 out of 82 metropolitan areas surveyed to an average of $997 a month from $974 a year earlier and $991 in the first quarter. $997 for an apartment. Wow. That's enough to take your breath away. Let's jump to this one. Banks had staff to draw the wealthiest in the Middle East. Now, what's up with this? I thought they were all a bunch of Sharia law people. Didn't like usury. Well, they're still banking. Of course, the problem is the bank. But they probably are getting dialogued into the Western mentality that banks are good, right? Stefania Bianchi writing this one for Bloomberg. UBS AG, Royal Bank of Scotland Group PLC are among banks boosting their wealth management operations to attract Middle Eastern clients as the region's richest seek to protect their cash amid political turmoil. So we heard about the $2.4 million Bugatti going to one of these emirs in the Emirates, the United Arab Emirates. One of the emirs has 800 cars in his stable. I don't know how many virgins he's got up his sleeve, but he's got 800 cars, and one of them is going to be a $2.4 million Bugatti with a porcelain caviar tray and a picnic basket inside. In the countries that saw the most turmoil, some private savings have naturally been transferred abroad to international banks and international banking centers. But let us not forget, I think it was over a year ago, we reported on this new triangle, the Golden Triangle. Yeah, that's right. London, New York, and Dubai, the Golden Triangle. Let us not forget that it was the Rothschilds that came in when Abu Dhabi was needing some money, or was it Dubai, and came in and underwrote a lot of the debt that they were going through, all right? So it shouldn't be any surprise then to see the Middle East, you know, becoming a banking hub and a banking center. In the countries that saw the most turmoil, some private savings had naturally been transferred. So this is the idea of creative destruction. We go in, create all kinds of regional unrest. People flee from the falling cluster bombs as the Israelis fly over yet again, followed by the Americans and the rest of the coalition of the willing. And unrest spreads. People move their money around. And, of course, then there's also Muammar Gaddafi getting stripped of his wealth. He's an insider, but he's lost his favor with the Illuminati. Bondholders may compete with farmers if U.S. forced to choose in default. Bondholders competing with farmers, and Soros is buying up floodland. Brother, what a story. Mike Dorning, John Dietrich, writing this one for Bloomberg. Failure to reach a deal to raise the U.S. debt limit may force the usurper to choose between paying Chinese bondholders or American soldiers, and between Iowa farmers or elderly Social Security recipients. The problem with these money junkies is that they're not, you know, going to get off the crack. They're going to stay right there on the crack, okay? They're going to keep banging the gong, if I can say so, all right? They're strung out on this stuff. They don't know where to turn. They don't realize that as long as they continue following that insane Keynesian school of economics, which we've discussed on numerous occasions here, as long as they continue with this foolish idea that they can spend their way to prosperity, they're going to have all these tough decisions. But this is rather revealing. Those are among the dilemmas the usurper may confront should talks with Republicans founder and the government fall short of funds needed to pay its bills. And there are no funds anyway. All right, there are no funds anyway. It's all funny money, honey. Other choices would include whether to sell at cut-rate prices. Get this now. To sell at cut-rate prices financial assets such as gold in Fort Knox. God, you don't want to be on the receiving end of that deal. Or loan portfolios acquired through the bank bailout. All right, to avoid default and keep government services. Who are they scratching? Who are they going so hard to try and be able to pay? The bankers. This is all about paying the interest. Okay. Stopgap measures such as picking and choosing which programs to support would almost be as bad as default itself. White House Speaker John Boehner and other Republicans, you know, Goethe, G-O-E-T-H-E, it's Boehner, I'm sorry. I don't know how much he had to pay to get that turned around. Anyway, he doesn't have much clue when it comes to phonology. Continuing here, just dropped down a little bit. It's a real deadline, said Jay Powell, a former Treasury Undersecretary for Jorge Bush, the shrub. Could you live through that for a month? Theoretically, you could, but it'd be very chaotic. It would hurt the economy. They just won't give up on the debt, folks. They're going to continue to pay and pay the bankers, and everyone else starves. Well, talking about starving, world food prices climb on sugar dairy costs. I guess cut out the sugar, cut out the dairy. That solves that one, doesn't it? But the world food prices are climbing. Here's the article. Rudy Rutenberg. I would imagine that he is an Irishman. World food prices rose in June as the cost of sugar, meat, and dairy increase. Now, wait a minute. World food prices aren't going anywhere. Still costs just as much for a teaspoon of sugar today as it did in 1930. The only difference is all the taxes that have been added on. Meat and dairy increase. Well, I would suggest backing off on the dairy anyway, unless you're raising it yourself. But even then, I just wonder, does a human have to drink cow milk, bovine juice? An index of 55 food commodities rose to 233.8 points from 231 in May. The United Nations Food and Agricultural Organization, boy, run quickly if they're on the bill here, said in a report on its website today, food will remain costly in the next few years, and price swings will be around for a long time. So just get ready. Watch it on Econo Day every day. Watch it on Kitco's News. Watch it up there with shadowstats.com as we move into a greater and greater inflationary, hyperinflationary, or deflationary term. Things are going to continue to be unstable. The world will rock and roll like a drunk. We're not seeing any break, they said. Senior economists, almost in every country, including Europe, the issue of higher food prices has already become tangible. That's because your money can't buy you enough. And if that isn't enough to drive you nuts, here's another one. Diamonds lure insurance investor Cowdery as gems returns outperform gold. So some people awash in money, the money junkies, they're out there buying diamonds. Of course, they don't know that you can make a diamond in a laboratory, but they're willing to step up to the plate. Thomas B. Schubel, writing this one for Bloomberg. Clive Cowdery, the Resolution Limited founder who made about $240 million buying and selling insurers, is betting on diamonds after prices rose five times faster than gold this year on surging demand from China and India. Well, what's the problem with this story? You got to read it all to get it. But you're really, the problem here is that the diamonds are opinion pieces. The investments are opinions. It's only the opinion of whoever is buying or selling it that puts any value on it. My recommendation, avoid the stones, stick with gold and silver. Here's a little bit more. Lehman borrowed $18 billion from undisclosed Fed program during this 08 crisis. All right, Lehman Brothers, they're back in the news again. Brokerage borrowed as much as $18 billion in four separate loans from a previously secret program of the U.S. Federal Reserve in June 2008. Where's that transparency, Barry? You have to go through the Freedom of Information Act request to get this kind of information disclosed. 3 months before its parent filed the biggest bankruptcy in history. The program, which peaked at $80 billion in loans outstanding, was known as the Fed's Single Tranche Open Market Operations, or STOMO. It made 28-day loans to units of 19 banks from March the 7th of 2008 to December 30th of 2008. They all went breasts up, and we take it in the shorts, lengthy article, give you some insight and some clues to that. I think they're having to confess. They're having to come out. They're having to bare their breast to the world because the people are not very happy these days with FedGov. Now, here's a guy that we ought to remember, sent in to us by one of our listeners. Everybody remember Viet Dinh? Viet Dinh, also known as Viet De Dinh, young man. Born February the 22nd of 1968 in Vuong Tau, Vietnam. Yeah, here's his program. Georgetown law professor and director of their Asian Law and Policy Studies program, Viet Dinh is a former U.S. Assistant Attorney General and the chief architect of the U.S. Patriot Act. Dinh clerked for Appellate Court Judge Lawrence H. Silberman and Supreme Court Justice Sandra Day O'Connor. Sandra Day O'Connor, they got Jorge Bush, the shrub, in. Come back with Viet Dinh right after this.
At HempUSA.org, we offer chemical-free products to people around the world, detoxifying, self-healing, while rebuilding the immune system. We urge our listeners to please consider our largest-selling product, Microplant Powder. Our microplant powder is rich in silica and probiotics to help rebuild the immune system and to create a healthy stomach flora. Microplant powder is excellent for daily intake and is perfect to add to your storage shelter. We urge our listeners to please visit us at hempusa.org. And remember, all of our products are chemical-free and healthy to eat. We constantly strive to give you the best service, highest quality, and rapid shipping anywhere. And we offer free shipping on orders over $95 in the U.S. Please visit us at hempusa.org or call 908-691-2608. That's 908-691-2608. See what our powder, seeds, and oil can do for you at hempusa.org.
Hey, how's that Frankenfood working out for you? You like it? Why don't you quit eating it and start growing your own high-quality, low-cost food? Gardening in a failed economy will teach you the methods that you need to grow food just about anywhere, even on concrete. Gardening in a Failed Economy will teach you to grow high-quality, low-cost food
in just about any location, just about anywhere in the world. Download a copy of Gardening in a Failed Economy from distributedliving.net.
Here's a great gadget that will enable your old FM radio to receive thousands of new internet radio stations. It's the size of a thumb drive, and it simply plugs into any USB port on your computer. Anything that you stream, Pandora, iTunes, this show through TalkStream Live, now plays on any FM radio. It's easy to use, sound quality is excellent, and has a range of up to 30 feet. The FM audio transmitter, including shipping, is just $29.99. Go to oraclebroadcasting.com and click on the banner right now.
Imagine no longer being tied down to your computer, but having the freedom to take live talk radio with you anywhere you go. TalkStream Live introduces our first ever iPhone application. The talk shows you follow now follow you, and your iPhone is now the fastest and easiest way to stay connected to the best talk radio on the internet. Let TalkStream Live transform the way you listen to radio. Listen to live talk shows 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Mobile talk radio from TalkStream Live. Now available in the iTunes App Store.
Thousands of years ago, from the time of Moses to the time of Alexander the Great, Julius Caesar, and beyond, TrustedCoins.com brings you an incredible selection of authentic Greek, Biblical, Roman, and Byzantine ancient coins, all certified authentic by world-renowned numismatic expert Ilya Slobin. Transport yourself to the distant past now at TrustedCoins.com.
This is the Oracle Broadcasting Network, the home of cutting-edge talk radio.
So back into this brief discussion here on this Viet Dinh, you know, on 7-7, just thought I'd look back a little bit, got this link sent to us from one of our listeners. Always appreciated getting his articles. Sometimes they're very revealing. And this one, just a reminder of who this dude is, Executive Summary, USA Patriot Act Mastermind. All right? Got all kinds of problems. We'll go through this process, you know, I call it Plan B. The abolition of the established two-party political system as we collapse the spirit of division in this country and come back under the Jeffersonian concept of a Democratic-Republican Party in the move towards the abolition of established parties altogether from our system, taking the advice of George Washington not to allow parties and factions to creep in amongst us so that we can then eventually reach for that time, sometime hopefully in the very near future, where we once again have a constitutionally limited Republican form of representative government sans the parties. Going, returning positivism on its head. But anyway, here's the clown. Georgetown law professor, director of their Asian Law and Policy Studies program. Viet Dinh, a former U.S. Assistant Attorney General, chief architect of the U.S. Patriot Act. In 1978, Dinh's mother took her children and fled communist Vietnam in a 15-foot-long boat packed with 85 refugees. Too bad a white shark didn't get this one in time. Anyway, they landed in Malaysia. 6 months later, the family arrived in Oregon and started a life picking strawberries. Yeah, and they've been picking the low-hanging fruit ever since. During the Senate confirmation process, Dinh's only nay vote came from Hillary Clinton. Oh, no. Don't think that the Roddam Clinton was doing any favors for us. It was presumably over his participation in the Senate Whitewater investigation. And she probably didn't want him rooting around in the Rose Law Firm or down in MENA. Anyway, and to a lesser extent, the impeachment trial of her husband. When Dinh finally did join the Justice Department in April of 2001 as an assistant attorney general, John Ashcroft,
let the eagle soar,
admonished, quote, the art of leadership is the redefinition of the possible. Well, they've been doing a lot of redefining. The obfuscatory linguistics of the logical positivist syntactician, when you get the meta language in your mind, it's enough to keep you awake at night. I want you to be the think tank to help me redefine the possible for the Department of Justice. And Viet Dinh gladly complied. Dinn was commissioned to draft a piece of legislation granting sweeping new powers to law enforcement. Sound like FDR? Asked the Congress to give him sweeping new powers, as broad as if we were at war. Well, they decided to wage war in earnest against we the people. Of course, we found out all about that by studying Thomas Paine. Governments are organized for war. War is their whole business. When they get tired of waging war on their neighbors, they turn and wage war on the people. That's why we understand that a government might be a good servant, but it's a very, very fearful master. Here's a quote. Congress was very involved with the process in refining, adding, and in sometimes deleting some of our proposals. The USA Patriot Act served a very, very central purpose. That is, to update the law to the technology. This is the techno-totalitarianism state that we live in, so that the terrorists, that would be a system of government that rules by fear, intimidation, and dread, that would be our government, and other criminals, that must be the bankers, with criminal and harmful intent, cannot evade investigation simply by switching off cell phones or changing from phone to internet. Well, we'll see how that goes. After civil libertarians began to question aspects of the law and just refused to shut up, that's right, just say no, people. Just say no. It's easy. You can say it. No. 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 Practice the word. No. Lots of ways you can do that. Get a two-year-old to tutor you. Ashcroft responded during a September 2003 speech, quote, "The charges of the hysterics are revealed," the hysterics, "are revealed for what they are. Castles in the air built on misrepresentation, supported by unfounded fear, held aloft by hysteria." Well, that's about all I can stand of that. After all, all of those hysterias seem to have fanned out. They got the pay dirt. They got the dust in the pan. Well, let's go into something a little bit more. Of course, Solvenour, one of our chatters in the chat room on another network, interviewed a gentleman named Jan Irvin. And, of course, I think it was Bob Tuscan interviewed him also here on Oracle. And he continues to get more and more space and place when we talk about things like Trivium. But, of course, since the founding of this broadcast long ago, one of the things that I've always done was just to lay out in front of the people my simple little way of going about doing research. And I typically, as I'm reading along in something and I've come across a word or term in law or a word that I don't have the meanings and senses firmly in mind, or you find a sentence in something that you're reading where it's critically important and you look at a word and you're not really sure, you've heard it 100 times, but you have to be honest with yourself and realize, hey, I don't really know what that word means. And so you go in and you do a little, you get, like Hal Anthony says, you get the black and the white in your eyes. You go to the sources, you go to the books. So I go to the dictionaries, and I like to gather up dictionaries from each of the, by the decades, I got stacks of dictionaries, by the decades, so that you can look at, well, what's the meaning and the sense of the word that was used then? For all the people that have studied out of the Black's Law Dictionary or Bouvier's, any of the other ones, you know that as time passes, Black's Law Dictionary's definitions change. All right? Now, words shouldn't change. You know, up is up, down is down. But in the topsy-turvy world that we live in today, you can't be sure that up is up or down is down or white is white or black is black. Sometimes it's all just bronze men dialoguing you into consensus. So we'll go into a little bit here, just briefly, right out of the Encyclopedia, all right? The Encyclopedia Americana, Volume 13. This is 1951, I think, edition. Let me make sure. Yeah, 1951. This was originally copyright in 1927. The article I'm going to share with you is much older than 1951, however. There's no late textual material included in it. But we look at words, all right? Now, yeah, the trivium, grammar, a logic, and rhetoric, all right? Yeah, they're words. And if you go in then and first look them up in the dictionary, you know, what I would like to do is be able to hope that you wouldn't have to rely upon experts and experts say, that we can trigger in your mind the opportunity for you to be able to learn yourself, rather to show someone how to fish than to feed them fish continuously. All right? You'll be a lot stronger if you just do this stuff yourself, but you're going to have to walk through all these little places yourself. I can't come to town and in a two-hour 2-hour presentation transform your mind. That's not possible. But I can show you where I go and maybe share with you my process, and then maybe other people could carry it further than that. Grammar is the systematic treatment of the expression of thought by means of language. It's a systematic treatment. It's a system lays in there. It's a treatment of what? The expression of thought. We go back to Andrew J. Galambos. The idea of property. What is property? It's a man's life and all non-procreative derivatives of his life. That means that your thoughts are your property. And what's freedom? Freedom is 100% control of your property, 100% control, or 100% of the time, which of course demands the corollary, 0% control of your neighbor's property, 100% of the time. So if you're in 100% control of your thoughts at all time, then the systematic treatment of the expression of thought by means of language would just inure to your benefit. So it's to our benefit to learn how to speak and how to communicate effectively and convincingly and using all of the available tools in rhetoric, not only just convincingly, but very convincingly. All right? Grammar is often called a science, but in its present state, it can't rank with sciences like astronomy or chemistry. Or we could look at the quadrivium and say, like the study of number, like the study of music, like the study of astronomy. All right? No, it's not a science in that from that standpoint. For one thing, it hasn't the power of prediction. It hasn't the power of prediction. But remember, when we look into logic, you know, the predictive power of a concept is part of the inductive logic program. Predictive power. It's one of the planks of inductive logic. Adams and Leverrier, the one in France, the other in England, were able from observed disturbances in the solar system, and then they go on and they talk all about law from or science, scientific things. But what they're trying to do here is to lay out a background so that we realize that grammar doesn't fall that way. He does well if he can discover and clearly explain what it is. The rules of grammar in any language can be no more than the statement of existing facts of that language. Now, we'll pick that up right after this.
The Oracle Broadcasting Radio Network is on a mission to bring you the best in cutting-edge talk radio. Oracle Broadcasting is a true beacon of free speech, uncensored news, and relevant information that depends on the support of listeners just like you. You can help us expand our reach and inform the masses. Promote the network by clicking the Socialize link on the left-hand side of the OracleBroadcasting.com website. Using the simple tools provided, it is easy to spread the word about Oracle Broadcasting on social networking websites, blogs, news feeds, and many other ways with just one click. You can also help by becoming an Oracle Broadcasting member today. For just $5 a month, you get access to the member stream that allows you to listen to all of the great shows from Oracle Broadcasting in 128K stereo CD audio quality. To find out more, go to OracleBroadcasting.com. And thank you for listening to the Oracle Broadcasting Radio Network.
Hey, how's that Frankenfood working out for you? You like it? Why don't you quit eating it and start growing your own high-quality, low-cost food? Gardening in a failed economy will teach you the methods that you need to grow food just about anywhere, even on concrete. Gardening in a failed economy will teach you to grow high-quality, low-cost food in just about any location, just about anywhere in the world. Download a copy of Gardening in a Failed Economy from distributedliving.net.
Across the sands of time, from the lands of Abraham to the lands of Julius Caesar, the metals of the earth were forged into the coin of the realm.
Now you can own a piece of history with affordable ancient coins from the Greek, Biblical, Roman, and Byzantine eras. Guaranteed authentic by Janus Numismatics. Transport yourself to the distant past at TrustedCoins.com. That's TrustedCoins.com.
This is the Oracle Broadcasting Radio Network.
Visit us online at OracleBroadcasting.com.
As globalism transitions from global to local, we become vocal local.
blocking the globalist agenda right where we are, in our towns, cities, counties, and states. And now, here is that nemesis of globalism, your host, William Roberts.
And we have returned once again right here on our Thursday, July the 7th, 2011, two-hour broadcast of Become Vocal Local. In the first hour, went through a basket of news. Now coming into the second hour, we're going back into this trivium concept that's getting wide airtime these days. But just to lay down some of the basics, break it up into the parts. And, oh, you don't have to go out and try and find some mystic, some stellite, somebody sitting up on the top of a stella someplace as the guru. This is stuff that's been around for thousands of years, and you too can learn it. All right? It's easily done. Unfortunately, most of this has been withdrawn from our educational system, and there's a reason for that. You can't deliberately dumb down an intelligent people. If they already know how to learn, you can't tell them what to think, all right? Because they can see right through your guys. Barry the Usurper was a transparent president, so transparent we could see through him before he even got started. Anyway, once again, the idea here is hence, they say, hence, grammar for practical purposes must be viewed chiefly as a constructive art, not a science, but an art, constructive science, all right? Now, grammar in and of itself is not a creative process. It can be used to help supplement that, but it's not creative. So you sit down to write a blog, or you sit down to write an article or something like that, or you're reading something. If you're going into grammar to look for creativity, you're probably going in the wrong place. You'll come up with a very droll and dry piece of writing, very likely. So you sit down first and just blow your thoughts down onto paper, and I would recommend you put it on paper. I guess you could type it in if you're a speedy typist. But you get your ideas out, get your thoughts out, get that creative juices flowing, and just blow through and create a draft, okay? But that's just the beginning. Altogether, too often, especially from the blogs I've seen, people go ahead then and publish their drafts. They've never applied any of these higher skills, if you will, these arts, to that process. So once you've got it, you've got a draft knocked out, now you go back and you start running it through the filter of grammar and logic and rhetoric, things that you can learn on your own quickly and easily. It's not terribly difficult. But let's continue. Again, this is not, I'll say it again, this is not a science. It is chiefly a constructive art. In no department of learning is there less room for dogmatism. All right? So I'm not going to stand up here, you know, at the front of the room and, you know, got my ruler and go around and rap all the children's knuckles. All right? It's not a place for dogmatism. The scholar cannot say what shall be or what should be. He is well if he can discover and clearly explain what is. The rules of grammar in any language can be no more than the statement of the existing facts of that language as scholarship has discovered and has been able to coordinate them. So if you happen to, you know, speak Dutch, if you happen to speak German, if you happen to speak French or something else like Vietnamese or China, now Mandarin, all of the things that make up grammar are going to be different in your countries. Now, when you're working with English, English is a bit unique. English, for instance, has few, if any, words that are gender specific. We are genderless in English. And so the rules of grammar as regard to gender and plurals are different from one people to another people to another people. Just like our law, grammar rises up out of the customs, the tongues, the tribes, the creeds, and the traditions of the people. And again, it's a systematic treatment of the expression of thought by the means of language. We don't start out our lives by writing sentences. We begin our lives with mama. Daddy, or whatever in your language, starts with words. Look it up right there. After these brief words from our sponsors, stay tuned.
Constitution like the back of your hand. You've read books, listened to podcasts, attended lectures, surfed websites, and watched videos.
You've made liberty your life's goal, but something seems to be missing.
Stickers from LibertyStickers.com. Exercise your freedom of speech with the world's most dangerous bumper stickers. That's LibertyStickers.com.
But wait. There's more.
You can buy Liberty stickers wholesale. Get them for 99 cents each when you put 100 or more in your shopping cart in any combination. Sell them or give them away. They're great for gun shows, flea markets, fairs, outreach, and more. Earn extra money, promote freedom, and spread the word. Need custom stickers, labels, or decals for your organization or business? Liberty Stickers makes them. Go to LibertyStickers.com to order or call 877-873-9626. LibertyStickers.com. The world's most dangerous stickers.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
At HempUSA.org, we offer chemical-free products to people around the world, detoxifying, self-healing, while rebuilding the immune system. We urge our listeners to please consider our largest-selling product, Microplant Powder. Our Microplant Powder is rich in silica and probiotics to help rebuild the immune system and to create a healthy stomach flora. Microplant Powder is excellent for daily intake and is perfect to add to your storage shelter. We urge our listeners to please visit us at hempusa.org. And remember, all of our products are chemical-free and healthy to eat. We constantly strive to give you the best service, highest quality, and rapid shipping anywhere. And we offer free shipping on orders over $95 in the U.S. Please visit us at hempusa.org or call 908-691-2608. That's 908-691-2608. See what our powder, seeds, and oil can do for you at hempusa.org.
This is Become Vocal Local with your host, William Roberts.
And so again, looking backwards a little bit, looking backwards in time to the beginning of all of this, you know, in fact, the authors here in the encyclopedia continue, the earliest grammar known to the modern world is the Sanskrit grammar of Panini, about 300 BC, given in 8 books with 3,000 sections, the rules for classical Sanskrit. But Panini himself enumerates 64 grammatical predecessors, and the oldest Sanskrit literature is conventionally placed at 1500 BC, though undoubtedly much older. A language, however, must exist in a tolerably complete form before a literature can be composed in it, so that the Sanskrit language reaches back beyond the earliest Sanskrit literature into a dim antiquity. The language had existed for unknown centuries and had been the medium of a great literature for probably 1,000 years before its grammar began. The impulse of the Sanskrit grammar was religious, for on the correct rendering of any verse of its sacred books, salvation might depend. Now, this success or section, if I can say so, in this article in the encyclopedia is followed immediately by a second article, and that one is Grammar English. So this first article is giving us an overall concept of what grammar is and what it has been and how it has been developed through time. And in so doing this, it's very revealing, because for the student of history and for those that are interested, you can go into this in greater and greater detail. All right? And one of the beauties of these secondary sources, which is what an encyclopedia or a dictionary might be called in the legal research and writing by Deborah Bruchot for the paralegal, a secondary source, certainly one of the better encyclopedias out there, will give you lots of clues to where you can go then to learn more. You know, people pay a lot of money for education, but there are tools laying in dumpsters and discards at flea markets and in yard sales that if you are wise as a serpent, keep your eyes peeled, you can pick up for pennies. You can still invest 4 years, but you can do it in self-directed learning. You don't come out with the sheepskin on the other end, but really the employer doesn't want the sheepskin. The employer wants somebody that knows what the hell he's doing, all right? And if you can convince him through grammar and logic and rhetoric that you are that person, you'll get the job whether you've got the sheepskin or not, whether you wear the little square hat with a tassel or not. In 1652, John Wallace published his Grammatica Linguae Anglicanae, all right? Anglicanae. It's Latin. That would be the English, or, yeah, the Anglican language grammar, explaining English usage in Latin, as did other so-called English grammarians who still esteemed Latin. Now, the time of King James the First of England, the Seventh of Scotland, as a young man, young boy, he was versed in Latin and Law French and their English coming on, multilingual, and brought up in all of these things. He had some very interesting tutors that he lived an unusual life, separated from his natural parents most of the time. But anyway, this is the sort of stuff that we find. We go back and we study John Stuart Mill, for instance, raised by, homeschooled by his father, James Mill. Likewise, he grew up very early in life, maturing mentally much sooner than he was ultimately able to handle, had a nervous breakdown. He'd gone so far so fast. But he was already skilled in multiple languages and beginning into complex logic and geometry, learning the trivium and the quadrivium while he was still in short pants. All right? Cost him later, however, he did have a mental breakdown. The earliest of these works was written 500 years after the Norman Conquest and 2 centuries after Chaucer had shown what the English language by itself could do. Anybody's ever gone out and looked at the writings of Chaucer? We had that when I was going to college, and I still have the books. Pretty good reads. So considered, grammar is explanatory and not creative. Considered, grammar may be defined as the art of expressing thought by the means of connecting words. So we start out with mama, dada, hungry, me, and you start connecting these words, and then you begin to build sentences. Now, with that in mind, and I know it's in the article, I'll probably cover it again, but I'm just going to go back to John 1:1. In the beginning was the Word. In the beginning was the Word. Go back to Genesis 1 in the Bible, for those of you who've ever read it. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. And he said it was good. Right? It begins with the Word. You know, this idea of solution-driven talk radio. Well, when I began advancing that 5 years ago, I didn't realize that it was going to become the new vogue, but everybody and their brother talks about solutions on their broadcast today. There was a paucity of solutions. Everybody was advancing all the things that were wrong, but no one was pointing at solutions. Today, that's not the case. You're much more powerful than you know. Much more powerful than you can even imagine. You speak things into existence. Your words are the reality that you're aware of. Everything in your life, in your waking and your sleeping, your dreaming, is all shaped in words. And it starts with that mama, daddy thing. When you finally realize that you can associate those sounds and your father or your mother will respond. But again, back into this discussion, it's not creative. Some very learned authors have stated as an axiom that the sentence is the unit and the starting point of speech. And in this particular article, he's now going to launch into a rather large refutation of that notion. How this idea originated is difficult to understand. It is not a self-evident truth. And so now the author is invoking some of logic to support what he's doing. obviously schooled in the trivium. For one may say, as some have said, that the name of an object is the unit and the starting point of speech, much the same way that the local voting precinct group is the fundamental building block of a nation, of a political system as vast as we have overlaid upon us. Is that starts with that word, your local community, if you will. The people right in your home. It begins with you, then your family, and then the people that live in proximity to you that you intercourse with, and then it builds from there into your town, into your city, into your county, and into your state, and then as a region, and then as a federal, really as a national system. And that's a whole other study. We'll go into that. We've been there many times. The account in Genesis reads, "And out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air and brought them unto Adam to see what he would call them. And whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof." Genesis 2:19. I call that the Adamic principle. This is this almost maniacal obsession that people have to name things. You can't have a kitty in your front yard before you give it a name. You never noticed that? People even name their cars, of all things. They name their clickers. They name their television sets. They name their computers, their avatars, and everything you can imagine. It's the Adamic principle, the word.
Hey, how's that Frankenfood working out for you? You like it? Why don't you quit eating it and start growing your own high-quality, low-cost food? Gardening in a failed economy will teach you the methods that you need to grow food just about anywhere, even on concrete. Gardening in a failed economy will teach you to grow high-quality, low-cost food in just about any location, just about anywhere in the world. Download a copy of Gardening in a Failed Economy from distributedliving.net.
Here's a great gadget that will enable your old FM radio to receive thousands of new internet radio stations. It's the size of a thumb drive, and it simply plugs into any USB port on your computer. Anything that you stream, Pandora, iTunes, this show through TalkStream Live, now plays on any FM radio. It's easy to use, sound quality is excellent, and has a range of up to 30 feet. The FM audio transmitter, including shipping, is just $29.99. Go to oraclebroadcasting.com and click on the banner right now.
Imagine no longer being tied down to your computer, but having the freedom to take live talk radio with you anywhere you go. TalkStream Live introduces our first ever iPhone application. The talk shows you follow now follow you, and your iPhone is now the fastest and easiest way to stay connected to the best talk radio on the internet. Let TalkStream Live transform the way you listen to radio. Listen to live talk shows 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Mobile talk radio from TalkStream Live. Now available in the iTunes App Store.
Thousands of years ago, from the time of Moses to the time of Alexander the Great, Julius Caesar, and beyond, TrustedCoins.com brings you an incredible selection of authentic Greek, biblical, Roman, and Byzantine ancient coins, all certified authentic by world-renowned numismatic expert Ilya Zlobin. Transport yourself to the distant past now at TrustedCoins.com.
The Oracle Broadcasting Radio Network is on a mission to bring you the best in cutting-edge talk radio. Oracle Broadcasting is a true beacon of free speech, uncensored news, and relevant information that depends on the support of listeners just like you. You can help us expand our reach and inform the masses. Promote the network by clicking the Socialize link on the left-hand side of the OracleBroadcasting.com website. Using the simple tools provided, it is easy to spread the word about Oracle Broadcasting on social networking websites, blogs, news feeds, and many other ways with just one click. You can also help by becoming an Oracle Broadcasting member today. For just $5 a month, you get access to the member's stream that allows you to listen to all of the great shows from Oracle Broadcasting in 128K stereo CD audio quality. To find out more, go to OracleBroadcasting.com. And thank you for listening to the Oracle Broadcasting Radio Network.
Radio X, with your host, Jimmy X. Sundays at noon on the Oracle Broadcasting Network.
And who was it, Cicero, that used to go down by the sea and in the raging waves, and he would practice his orations? I may be mistaken, but my memory seems to tell me Cicero. But this was quite the thing. He had a little bit of a stutter in his, maybe a lisp a bit. And he would go down and stand on a stormy morning in front of the ocean as the waves were crashing in and the wind was blowing. And he would give his orations. He would orate to the waves. Folks, as you become vocal local and you begin to engage the various councils and the boards right near you when you start to come together as a local voting precinct group, I can assure you, whether you're in a group of four people or five people or in a group or a room of 100 or more, whether you're standing in front of a city council meeting, a county council meeting, a water board, watershed, or standing and making an address at the state capitol in the legislature, the rotunda, people are going to judge you by your words, and they're going to judge you with the first sentence or so comes out of your mouth. And at that point, you're either going to get the trigger, they're going to attack the messenger and discount the message, or your ideas are going to prevail. As we heard some of these various statesmen, you know, in the past, some of the ones from England coming in, it's all a pack of lies. It's all built on a pack of lies. It depends on how convincing your argument is. And so, or your debate, perhaps, would be a better way of stating it. But continuing back from the encyclopedias, and this gentleman's not slack, the author of this article, James C. Fernald, the editor of the Student's Standard Dictionary. This guy has spent his time with his nose in the books looking at philology and phonology and morphology and other things. Definitely writes a good article. Again, there's nothing illogical or absurd in this idea that language began with the names of objects. Others have thought that verbs expressing actions came first. Still others have preferred to think that language began with involuntary exclamations, like become vocal local, exclamation point, where the exclamation point is actually the subject of all things. Wouldn't think so, but it is. It's that exclamation, it's that crying out loud, it's that just saying no that we talk about. Others, again, have thought that verbs expressing action came first. Still others preferred to think that language began with involuntary exclamations like, ouch, hot, which we now call interjections. No one of these theories is self-evidently true or false. Once again, he's retorting now to logic. The statement that the, quote, sentence is the unit and starting point of speech, close quote, is equally far from being a self-evident truth. In fact, it is a late result of complicated reasoning. If true, now notice, there's the trigger, if, we're in a premise now, if true, it must be proved to be true. What are the proofs? If in every generation, millions of children, starting with absolutely nothing, learned their native language. Now, that's not exactly true. They started with someone saying the word. They heard. They associated. They started out with a brain. They started out with their emotions turned on. Maybe they started out with their little pineal gland kicking back and forth. Okay? I wouldn't say that they started out with absolutely nothing. But, seemingly, they start out with little. Now, continuing from the discussion, now, in the acquirement of the modern European languages, at least, children everywhere learn the language by isolated words. It is a triumph when the little one can say Papa or Mama. Now, I'm going to drop down a little bit. The construction of the sentence marks a distinct advance of the baby's thought after a considerable store of separate words has been acquired. So you have to add to your storage chest, you have to add gemstones into your treasure box, word by word, sentence by sentence. And as Bill Cooper used to teach on his broadcast so often, that words do have meanings. and their meanings are important, as is how they are used. Words have meanings, as how they are used. So we go back and we take a look and see how words are used. And now once we start stacking up the words, we start getting all this lumber ready to go. Then we can go back in and look at all of the parts of speech and learn to transform a simple word or a simple, like a noun, or a simple verb, and we then construct that into a complete thought. And then we can take our skills beyond that, and we can begin to craft complex thoughts and complex sentences. And sometimes, even on the broadcast here, I've had to try and deal with some of these complex thoughts where you'd have a paragraph, something a paragraph long, and maybe goes to two pages, and it's but one sentence. Sometimes a brilliant mind can put together an incredible thought that just knocks you out of your socks. Grammar thus treats almost wholly of the forms, relations, and connections of words. The matter is thus stated by one of the most philosophical of modern grammarians, quote, "Grammar, or the doctrine of language, treats of the laws of speech, and in the first place, of the word," it's capitalized there, "as it is fundamental, as its fundamental constituent." So in the beginning, John 1:1 was the word, and the word was God. Oh, yeah. So there's been a lot of people taking a look at this. Now we could go on into grammar in English and so on and so forth. Excellent articles out of the Encyclopedia Americana. Let's go over to the Britannica and look at grammar again and just how they started here. It's the art of letters. Is the term used of logical but elementary account of a subject matter. Grammar of science, grammar of music, grammar of faults, and in particular of language. The grammar of a language is usually descriptive, sometimes historical or comparative, or recently statistical. It has been supposed that certain broad, general, even universal principles might be extracted that would give a comprehensive area of discussion. So far, such a pursuit has only succeeded in regard to the physical and formal aspects of the language. And then it continues a lengthy article, a good one, talks about differences of structures, spoken and written language, but in a system of grammar, and I'm just jumping ahead to save time. Lengthy article here. The system of grammar. Grammars are traditionally built up with the following main divisions. You see, we haven't gone to expert say yet, really, at this point. We're still dealing with secondary sources. There are others out there that have written entire tomes on this. You could break it down. I have several in my own library. You can go into it as deeply as you desire to do so. But just getting the gloss, getting the overview, gives us an understanding where we're going to go, what we could see if we were to take on the task of improving our grammar by studying it. Grammars are traditionally built up with the following main divisions. Number one, phonology. It's the treatment of the general theory of the sounds and sound combinations of the language concerned, as well as the orthography where there is occasion. So phonology. One of the only tools that I really have on these radio broadcasts is my voice, so I play around a lot with the sound, the phonology of words. The tone, the inflection, the duration, and all the things that we learn from music. The tempo, the timing. As a way of perhaps keeping your interest for the full 2 hours. And so that you'll listen carefully. And emphasizing things clearly. So that you can get the most out of the ideas, the paucity of ideas that I have that I want to share on a regular basis. Morphology, the second plank here, the system of grammar. Morphology, or accidents. It's the theory of forms. This generally treats of the traditional parts of speech in their usual order, substantives, adjectives, verbs, pronouns, adverbs, prepositions, and interjections. This is all the stuff that made you go to sleep when you were in school. Unfortunately, you slept through the most important class. We'll be right back.
Looking for news and real information? You found it. You found it. This is OracleBroadcasting.com.
Hey, how's that Franken food working out for you? You like it? Why don't you quit eating it?
and start growing your own high-quality, low-cost food. Gardening in a Failed Economy will teach you the methods that you need to grow food just about anywhere, even on concrete. Gardening in a Failed Economy will teach you to grow high-quality, low-cost food in just about any location, just about anywhere in the world. Download a copy of Gardening in a Failed Economy from distributedliving.net.
Across the sands of time, from the lands of Abraham to the lands of Julius Caesar, the metals of the earth were forged into the coin of the realm. Now you can own a piece of history with affordable ancient coins from the Greek, Biblical, Roman, and Byzantine eras. Guaranteed authentic by Janus Numismatics. Transport yourself to the distant past at TrustedCoins.com. That's TrustedCoins.com.
You know the Constitution like the back of your hand. You've read books, listened to podcasts, attended lectures, surfed websites, and watched videos. You've made liberty your life's goal, but something seems to be missing.
Stickers from LibertyStickers.com. Exercise your freedom of speech with the world's most dangerous bumper stickers. That's LibertyStickers.com.
But wait. There's more.
You can buy Liberty stickers wholesale. Get them for 99 cents each when you put 100 or more in your shopping cart in any combination. Sell them or give them away. They're great for gun shows, flea markets, fairs, outreach, and more. Earn extra money, promote freedom, and spread the word. Need custom stickers, labels, or decals for your organization or business? Liberty Stickers makes them. Go to LibertyStickers.com to order or call 877-873-9626. LibertyStickers.com, the world's most dangerous stickers.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
This is Become Vocal Local with your host, William Roberts.
And so as Waywins, you know, we come into life and we get hustled along. It's the hucklebuck, you know. And unfortunately, as I mentioned, as we're going into the break, this can be so dreadfully dry and boring. Then not only did you fall asleep in class, but if I persist too long with it, I'll put the audience to sleep as well. But let's understand that grammar school in Great Britain, a secondary school, U.S. high school, that offers an academic course preparatory for university entrance and for the professions of all things. All right? So you go in and you get your primary education out of the way in England, I suppose, in Great Britain, and then you go into grammar school, and it prepares you to go on to the universities. Well, it's different in the United States. The United States, in direct contrast with the use of the term in Great Britain, grammar school designates a part of the elementary school system, the grades between kindergarten and junior high school or high school. Grades between, it might be noted that British grammar school education begins at about age 11. U.S. secondary or high school education begins in the U.S. at about age 14. So we're getting rushed. We're being forced to go to sleep. That's part of this deliberate dumbing down. Forced to go to sleep on very, very important things. And it's our undoing. We're hung by the words we use because the words shape our thoughts and our understandings of things. And if we have a misapprehension of what something is, then we just walk along either in ignorance or we go into this voluntary ignorance. I don't want to know about that. Don't tell me. You know, or willful oblivion. And unfortunately, a lot of us have to spend a good portion of our lives carrying around in there. So now let's continue. This is morphology or accidents. This generally treats of the traditional parts of speech, again, order and their usual order of substantives, adjectives, verbs, pronouns, adverbs, prepositions, interjections. Can you diagram a sentence? You got a subject and a predicate. Can you diagram a sentence? Can you take it apart into its constituent pieces and see how each piece works? Is it working properly? In addition to grammar, then there's punctuation. And all of these things, when you're writing a blog or something, you're trying to communicate with your congressor, writing a letter, maybe you're writing some kind of a treatise or a paper, really going into something detailed. Maybe you're writing a business plan. Maybe you're sitting on a board or a council and you're trying to revise and improve a comprehensive plan so that it's not so onerous. Can you actually sit down and write well? And can your writing stand up in court? Well, that's part of what grammar is all about. Word formation, dealing with prefixes, suffixes, and other and the means of forming one word from another. The other day we looked at, on the fourth, we looked at independence. Dependio, to hang from. And then the weird N-I-N beginning, in. It's independence, you know, in law, but in legal land, it means that it can be separated from it. It's the difference between inflammable and an unflammable liquid. It's just that little teeny prefix that changes the whole discussion. And it's perfect for the logical positivist syntactician to come in and change that symbol from, let's say, unalienable rights or unalienable rights, that's a study in itself, to inalienable rights, so that the law can come in and take those rights. You Americans are going to know what it's like to have no rights pretty soon. Through the operation of law and by changing words, the wordsmith dialogue you into this situation where they actually can strip away your rights. Unalienable is like unflammable liquid. It will not burn. You cannot separate me from these rights. I got those rights not from states, capital S states. I got my rights from the creator of the universe, the laws of nature and nature's God. And you can't touch them. You don't have the jurisdiction. You don't have subject matter jurisdiction in this area, Bubba. And stand on it and believe it and work with it. Word formation, again, prefixes, suffixes, and other meanings. Syntax, generally in its first part, taking the parts of speech separately as in two and stating the rules for the use of each case. And then it continues and it continues. Theories of forms and so on. Well, we could go on and on indefinitely there. Lengthy article, lots to learn about grammar. And the more time you spend with it, I think the greater benefit you'll find in it. Now, let's jump over here. This is the home of philosophical radicalism. Say it every single morning. And the reason why I do that is because I want you to be aware of the English philosophical radicals. Not that I emulate these people. I've just studied them. All right? Jeremy Bentham. Jeremy Bentham. He is the cat daddy of the philosophical radicals. Well, here off the Wikipedia, let's find out a little bit about him. Did he know anything about the trivium? Did he use any of this in his life? Jeremy Bentham. He was born February the 15th of 1748, and he died on June the 6th, 1832. He was an English jurist, philosopher, and legal and social reformer. Social reformer, all right? Legal and social reformer. A philosopher, all right? An English jurist. Sounds pretty dangerous to me, right? He became a leading theorist in Anglo-American philosophy of law. Well, that's the jurisprudence. And a political radical. Now, we're all politically radical here, where freedom is popular. But a political radical whose ideas influenced the development of welfareism. Welfareism. It's an ism. Watch out for those isms. The suffix there, it's a belief system. Anytime you see an ism, you know that you're dealing with a belief system. If you go in and dig in, just as we're doing here, bore in deep, you typically can find not only the founder, in this case Jeremy Bentham, welfareism, but you can also find their faith statement, just the same as you would with Catholics, Protestants, or whatever, Mormons. It's an ism, it's a belief system. Communitarianism, dig into that, you'll find many people, including Amitai Etzioni. He is best known for his advocacy of utilitarianism. another ism, and animal rights. Wow. And the idea of the panopticon, we've gone into that in the past. You know, no one ever spoke of the panopticon until Mr. Will spoke of the panopticon. But now everybody does, and I hope everybody will, because you can see that we live in a global panopticon with cameras from everywhere, and no one knows if there's anyone behind the cameras or not, and if you ever challenge the camera, they will have turned the camera off that day, and you'll have no access to what they had on it, right? His position included arguments in favor of individual and economic freedom. Sounds good, doesn't it? Usury, the separation of church and state, freedom of expression, equal rights for women, the right to divorce, and the decriminalizing of homosexual acts. Jeremy Bentham, philosophic radical, somebody that we might want to know more about? I think so. He argued for the abolition of slavery and the death penalty, for the abolition of physical punishment, including that of children, although strongly in favor of the extension of individual legal rights. Legal rights. He opposed the idea of the natural law and natural rights, calling them nonsense upon stilts. Of course, I came into my study of Jeremy Bentham trying to unravel this revelation that I had years ago. In review, I'll state it again. There's an all-out war raging between legal positivism and the natural law. That in the rise of statism, the state has arrogated unto itself all of the natural law, returned as codified, statutory, regulated privileges, licensable, taxable, and revocable. This all-out war between the legal positivists. Of course, now we're right on top of Jeremy Bentham, the legal positivists at war, in an all-out war against the natural law. Of course, in a war, we oftentimes will list the aggressor first. So here it's the legal positivists who have waged war on the natural law, the laws of nature and nature's God. They hate the concept, calling them nothing more than nonsense upon stilts. That's right. We weren't given anything by our Creator. There was nothing hardwired into our little computers. We came in as blank slates, and it's up to philosophical radicals like Jeremy Bentham to explain to us who we are and whose we are and what right or rights and duties we may or may not have. And anything that they give to us, they can withdraw, which you'll find out all about if you study the Universal Declaration of Human Rights, the creation of the United Nations and their legal positivists. But he, this is again Jeremy Bentham, became the most influential of the utilitarians through his own work and that of his students. These included his secretary and collaborator on the Utilitarian School of Philosophy, James Mill. James Mill's son, John Stuart Mill, John Austin, the legal philosopher, and several political leaders, including Robert Owen, a founder of modern socialism. He has been described as the spiritual founder of the University College of London, where he is still greatly revered. There's a lot to learn about this person. I would encourage you to do so. That's right off the Wikipedia.
At HempUSA.org, we offer chemical-free products to people around the world, detoxifying, self-healing, while rebuilding the immune system. We urge our listeners to please consider our largest-selling product, Microplant Powder. Our microplant powder is rich in silica and probiotics to help rebuild the immune system and to create a healthy stomach flora. Microplant powder is excellent for daily intake and is perfect to add to your storage shelter. We urge our listeners to please visit us at hempusa.org. And remember, all of our products are chemical-free and healthy to eat. We constantly strive to give you the best service, highest quality, and rapid shipping anywhere. And we offer free shipping on orders over $95 in the U.S.
please visit us at hempusa.org or call 908-691-2608. That's 908-691-2608. See what our powder, seeds, and oil can do for you at hempusa.org.
Hey, how's that Frankenfood working out for you? You like it? Why don't you quit eating it and start growing your own high-quality, low-cost food? Gardening in a failed economy will teach you the methods that you need to grow food just about anywhere, even on concrete. Gardening in a failed economy will teach you to grow high-quality, low-cost food in just about any location, just about anywhere in the world. Download a copy of Gardening in a Failed Economy from distributedliving.net.
Here's a great gadget that will enable your old FM radio to receive thousands of new internet radio stations. It's the size of a thumb drive, and it simply plugs into any USB port on your computer. Anything that you stream, Pandora, iTunes, this show through TalkStream Live, now plays on any FM radio. It's easy to use, sound quality is excellent, and has a range of up to 30 feet. The FM audio transmitter, including shipping, is just $29.99. Go to oraclebroadcasting.com and click on the banner right now.
Imagine no longer being tied down to your computer, but having the freedom to take live talk radio with you anywhere you go. TalkStream Live introduces our first ever iPhone application. The talk shows you follow now follow you, and your iPhone is now the fastest and easiest way to stay connected to the best talk radio on the internet. Let TalkStream Live transform the way you listen to radio. Listen to live talk shows 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Mobile talk radio from TalkStream Live. Now available in the iTunes App Store.
Thousands of years ago, from the time of Moses to the time of Alexander the Great, Julius Caesar, and beyond, TrustedCoins.com brings you an incredible selection of authentic Greek, Biblical, Roman, and Byzantine ancient coins, all certified authentic by world-renowned numismatic expert Ilya Slobin. Transport yourself to the distant past now at TrustedCoins.com.
This is Jack Blood, your radio gun. You're listening to Oracle Broadcasting Network, the home of tyranny-smashing, cutting-edge talk radio.
So blowing into the last segment of today's two-hour transmission, you know, as I've suggested on numerous occasions, you know, here we are in the last segment of today. You may, if you can, if you're someplace where you can do so safely, conveniently, and comfortably, you might want to pop into the chat room. And in the chat room, just ask 10K Puddles, he's in there now, just ask 10K Puddles if he'd mind putting you on the email list at the end of each broadcast. Many of the links that have been dropped in the chat room are put together into an email and sent out to the listeners. And I'm blessed by having an ever-growing audience and a greater number of people in the chat room who are actually bringing meaningful discussion, you know, to the table, as opposed to some of the problem you get elsewhere. Around here, I like to think of this as an internet homeschool classroom for the philosophically radical adult people that are going to be the replacement set that we so desperately need in this time. All right? And so if you want to pop into the chat room, become vocallocal.com, maybe you get on that email list and get some of these links that you can then continue on your study with the things. Then if you have some ideas or during the broadcast and you wanted to get them out to more people, just pop into the email, chat room there and let 10K Puddles know that you're going to drop a link in. You'd like him to include it in the email for everybody else. All right? So we have an interactive audience here, and I'm thankful for and blessed by Oracle Broadcasting being able to attract so many listeners, and of course all those that listen on a regular basis and contribute during the broadcast. Now, again, just kind of looking back at a recent broadcast that Saul Vanur, who's also in the chat room, a host in his own right, interviewed Jan Irvin on the Trivium the other day, and I listened to that rebroadcast, and it was very, very good. And so in that, he made his guest, Jan Irvin, made a big discussion about fallacies. And so, you know, when you know something about some of these people, like Jeremy Bentham and James Mill and John Austin and so on, you'd also know John Stuart Mill. And John Stuart Mill is nobody's slouch. Even as a little boy, he was already deep into logic, so it can only be expected that during the course of his life that he would write on that, and he did. So you can go up on Wikipedia and just type in fallacy on Wikipedia. Simple place to begin. And in this, he's going to give you There's an article here, and I'll just begin it. In informal logic and rhetoric, okay, so we have grammar, logic, and rhetoric, the trivium, a fallacy is usually incorrect argumentation in reasoning, resulting in a misconception or presumption. Well, we're hung by our words. We use faulty reasoning. By accident or design, fallacies may exploit emotional triggers in the listener or the interlocutor, appeals to emotion, or take advantage of social relationships between people, argument from authority. Fallacious arguments are often structured using rhetorical patterns that obscure any logical argument. Now, if I were to try and work everything that I do and everything that I say on these broadcasts out according to all of these standards, well, I'd never get a word out in edgewise. All right, just couldn't say anything. So even though I've studied some of this, I don't necessarily, you know, let it concern me too much. But when I sit down to write, that's a whole other story. I've been asked, well, why don't you write a book? Well, I could probably write a book, but I'm so anal at this sort of stuff that I would probably spend the next 23 years coming up with the foreword before I ever bothered to write the book. Anyway, I'm kind of a bit of a perfectionist when it comes to writing. Fallacies. Here we go. It's the taxonomy of material fallacies is based on Aristotle's body structure, Organon. All right, so we go all the way back to Aristotle, one of my favorite writers. And you can pick it up in his work, Organon. You can also pick it up in his text, Logic. But this taxonomy is as follows. And I'm just going to give you the headings, maybe a little bit about it. Fallacy of accident or sweeping generalizations. All right, and then they give you an example here. I'm just going to give you the highlights. We're running out of time. Converse fallacy of accident or a hasty generalization. See if any of these things trigger in your mind. Irrelevant conclusions. You know, you listen to the mainstream media, even the alternative media, you know, and they just go on and on, wax philosophic. And it's like one fallacy after another fallacy after another fallacy falls off their lips. One of the reasons why I like to read so much is because these authors, you know, I've read these articles in the past and I've looked them over and they seem to be pretty good. And a lot of these people are old dead white guys. They were writing before the deliberate dumbing down of America. I have almost an ironclad cutoff in 1960. I don't read much that's written after that unless I'm doing it for a specific reason. This is those men that were alive in the late 1800s, maybe even some that were alive at the time of the War of Northern Aggression. These are those that still, you know, lived in prior to the television and prior to radio and just maybe a few telegrams back and forth. These are the people who sat down with a lamp and a quill pen and wrote beautifully and wrote well and wrote deliberatively. I mean, you just, when you don't have a backspace key and you don't have a delete button, you have to write very carefully because you know you're going to have to scrape it away with a razor to make a mistake go away. Anyway, converse fallacy of accident or a hasty generalization, irrelevant conclusions. Affirming the consequent. Affirming the consequent draws a conclusion from premises that do not support the conclusion. Here's an example, the argument. If people have the flu, they cough. Torres is coughing. Therefore, Torres has the flu. See? Affirming the consequent. Draw a conclusion from a premise that does not support the conclusion. All right? Because there are other things out there, such as asthma, that can cause someone to cough. Denying the antecedent, begging the question. This is one we use a lot when we write. Demonstrates a conclusion by means of premises that assume the conclusion. Here's an example. Billy always tells the truth. I know this because he told me so. Well, the problem here is that Billy might be lying to you. So sometimes when you listen to Billy, the talk radio guy, you say, well, you know, he always tells the truth. And I know this because he says, I always tell the truth. Because you can handle the truth. This is the home of truth radio. My question is, whose truth? And how do you know what you're saying is true? Especially when you're talking about things of grand antiquity. The fallacy of the false cause. Another one. Incorrectly assuming one thing is the cause of another. Fallacy of many questions. The straw man. We hear about straw man all the time. A straw man argument is an informal fallacy based on misrepresentation of an opponent's position. Here's an example. Sunny days are good. Argument person B says this. If all days were sunny, we'd never have rain. Without rain, we'd have famine and death. Therefore, you are quite wrong, sir. And problem B. B has falsely framed A's claim to imply that A says that only sunny days are good and has argued that assertion instead of the assertion that A has made. A little difficulty there. In other words, Mr. B here threw in a bunch of stuff that person A never said. Person A just said sunny days are good. Verbal fallacies, then there's a bunch more, equivocation, connotation. So all of these things you can find right up on the internet. Just type fallacy in to your Wikipedia, into your browser, and you'll come up with it. Now here, we've looking at Jeremy Bentham, James Mill. Of other classifications of fallacy in general, the most famous are those of Francis Bacon. Let's walk way back. John Stuart Mill, of course. Bacon's Novum Organum divided fallacies into four idola, idols, false appearances, which summarize the various kinds of mistakes to which the human intellect is prone. With these should be compared the offendicula of Roger Bacon, contained in his Opus Maius, Part 1. John Stuart Mill discusses the subject in his book of his book 5 of his Logic, and Jeremy Bentham, Book of Fallacies in 1824, contains valuable remarks. And then they list others. And so it's no one place, no one source. But again, we begin in the dictionary. You hear something, and you not understand it. This is the idea when I say run up your powers of discernment. You know? As Hal Anthony likes to say, learn to discern. Somebody says X, and you don't really understand, honestly, you don't really understand X. You say, Declaration of Independence, and you immediately think you know what independence is and what it means and what it meant at the time that it was used by those that used it then. And you perhaps think that you know all about it. But when you really do take the time to go into the dictionaries and look, you'll find that there are many meanings and many senses, and that in this obfuscatory linguistics of the logical positivist syntactician, wherein words become mere symbols in a language game. You know, George Orwell, 1984. Words appearing as nothing more than symbols inside of a language game. It's war, friends. And we need to have the right ammunition and the right tools. And I hope some of these were presented today. I'll be back again tomorrow. Until the very next time, good day.
Taking it back, one precinct, one county, one state at a time. You've been listening to Become Vocal Local.
The Oracle Broadcasting Radio Network is on a mission to bring you the best in cutting-edge talk radio. Oracle Broadcasting is a true beacon of free speech, uncensored news, and relevant information that depends on the support of listeners just like you. You can help us expand our reach and inform the masses. Promote the network by clicking the socialize link on the left-hand side of the OracleBroadcasting.com website. Using the simple tools provided, it is easy to spread the word about Oracle Broadcasting on social networking websites, blogs, news feeds, and many other ways with just one click. You can also help by becoming an Oracle Broadcasting member today. For just $5 a month, you get access to the member stream that allows you to listen to all of the great shows from Oracle Broadcasting in 128K stereo CD audio quality. To find out more, go to OracleBroadcasting.com. And thank you for listening to the Oracle Broadcasting Radio Network.
Hey, how's that Frankenfood working out for you? You like it? Why don't you quit eating it and start growing your own high-quality, low-cost food? Gardening in a failed economy will teach you the methods that you need to grow food just about anywhere, even on concrete. Gardening in a failed economy will teach you to grow high-quality, low-cost food in just about any location, just about anywhere in the world. Download a copy of Gardening in a Failed Economy from distributedliving.net.
Across the sands of time, from the lands of Abraham to the lands of Julius Caesar, the metals of the earth were forged into the coin of the realm. Now you can own a piece of history with affordable ancient coins from the Greek, Biblical, Roman, and Byzantine eras, guaranteed authentic by Janus Numismatics.
Transport yourself to the distant past at TrustedCoins.com. That's TrustedCoins.com.
Does Ordinary Talk Radio give you the laws?
Blah, blah, blah.
This ain't your daddy's talk radio. OracleBroadcasting.com.